You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Megan Brady, and you're listening to Galloping Getaways for Thursday, February 26th. As always, you'll find us here on Horses in the Morning every fourth Thursday, talking about all things equestrian travel.
Ride away with us on this special monthly equestrian travel episode, brought to you by the Equestrian Travel Association.
Welcome to Galloping Getaways, the podcast that explores the soul of equestrian travel, where meaningful adventure, cultural connection, and uncompromising horse welfare come together. I'm your host, Megan Brady, equine wellness practitioner, mentor, and founder of the Equestrian Travel Association. Each episode, we explore what equestrian travel looks like when it's built with intention through the people, places, and professional standards that shape the industry behind the scenes. Today, we're stepping inside White Stallion Ranch in Tucson, Arizona, an iconic destination and a founding member of the Equestrian Travel Association. It's a place many riders have heard of and one that has helped shape the standards and values we believe equestrian travel should reflect. But beyond its reputation, what is it actually like to experience it firsthand? In this episode, we're hearing directly from guests who have been there, exploring the rhythm of the daily life on the ranch, the riding experience, what surprised them most, and what stayed with them long after they left. And we'll ask the question at the heart of every conversation we're having this year: what truly sets an equestrian travel experience apart in the way that genuinely matters? So settle in, take a breath, and join us as we step into White Stallion Ranch through the voices of those who've lived it. Today, I'm joined by three guests who've experienced White Stallion Ranch firsthand: Sarah, Mandy, and Kim. They've spent time on the ground, in the saddle, and immersed in the rhythm of ranch life. They are here to share what that experience was really like, beyond the reputation, beyond the photos, and beyond the expectations that come with the destination so many riders have heard about. Together, we'll explore what stood out to them, what surprised them, what the riding actually felt like, and what stayed with them after they returned home. Sarah, Mandy, Kim, welcome to Galloping Getaways. I'm so glad you're here.
So I'm so happy to have Sarah, Mandy, and Kim on Galloping Getaways today talking about White Stallion Ranch. Thank you, ladies, for coming on our show. So I wanted to know, what made you choose White Stallion Ranch for your trip?
I'll answer this. I'm Kim. I chose White Stallion Ranch for our girls' trip. We were five ladies because we are all advanced or at least intermediate riders, and we did not want to go to a dude ranch that was a nose to tail walking trail ride type of ranch. So we wanted something that catered to all levels of riding. And we also wanted something where we didn't have to stay in different areas of the ranch, where we could all stay together in one location. And White Stallion Ranch did have like a hacienda that was its own house where we could all stay together.
Awesome. Yeah. I was there like 15 years ago, and they're part of the Equestrian Travel Association. So it's a lovely experience. So I'm glad that you guys got to pick that one. So Have you guys done any riding vacation before, or was this your first?
My first.
My first as well.
Mine as well.
All right. And what was your impression, since this is your first one that you've ever done?
Awesome. I would go back. I think it was not geographically my favorite. Mm-hmm. I guess, or the landscape wasn't my favorite, But it was an amazing ranch.
Awesome. Yeah.
Agree.
And remind me, what time of year did you go?
September? We were there
end of September. Okay. They called it their shoulder season.
Okay. Okay.
Which made it affordable. I thought it was very affordable for what we got. And we were expected to not have as hot weather, but you can't control the weather. It was very hot while we were there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your first impression like when you pulled into the ranch?
It was still light. I think it felt a little bit like the middle of nowhere, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, the long drive and the anticipation of like, what's it going to look like? You know, I thought it looked like sprawling and nice. I also agree with Sarah. It's not my, you definitely have to like red, you know, the topography of the cactus and the red and all of that. But I think, you know, it was not built up. It was very like fit into the landscape, the color scheme. So it seemed very like non-intrusive.
Mm-hmm. It definitely felt like it was a ranch out in the middle of nowhere. You didn't feel like you were a ranch right next to a town. You know, you were surrounded by the mountains and the flora and fauna. If you like that desert era arid, which I do, I thought it was beautiful. And the facilities I thought were really nice. That first day when we walked around, girls, do you remember? Like we saw the pool with the horse in it. Yeah, it's got like a tiled rearing stallion in the bottom of the pool.
Oh, cool. Cool.
It's neat.
Yeah.
And the grounds were beautiful. I mean, they were really, yeah, for the desert, they were beautifully landscaped. Mm-hmm. Everything was really kind of opening with the really pretty walking paths. And they give you an incredible tour when you first get there. So we knew how to get everywhere and where everything was, mm-hmm, and what areas had what.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And were how were your hosts, like the people that like were, you know, your trail guides and your, you know, the people, just the staff, how, you know, what was that like? Were they friendly? Were they welcoming?
Amazing. Cool. Amazing. So knowledgeable. And the way they pick your horse for you, mm-hmm, which I thought was really neat. And they were, I think, pretty spot on for all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So before you got there, you filled out like a riding like questionnaire. And so that's where they kind of teamed you up with your partner for the week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then did you have the same horse your whole trip there?
I had, of course, the first day. I can't remember why I didn't have my horse the first day.
Because he threw a shoe.
Okay. And then
they had to wait for the farrier to come, I think.
That's right. And then they said, if you like this horse the first day, you can keep it. But we really think this other horse would be really well suited to you. Mm-hmm. And they were right. After the first ride, I was like, I think I'm going to try out this other horse. Yeah. Even though she was a mare.
Not your thing, huh? Yeah. So yeah, tell me about your first ride there. Like, what did you do? Did you go on a trail ride? Were you in the arena? Was this an evaluation ride? Yeah.
This is something I think that they could have done differently.
Okay.
We all agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Our first ride was a mandatory walking ride, which in my opinion, at the level that we were at and what we put on the form, was, in my opinion, a little bit of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. After that ride, then they brought us into the arena to do a test to make sure that we were able to stop our horse and get our horse to canter to go on the fast rides.
Okay.
So it was almost like that first ride, we were only there for a few days. And so that was like our afternoon ride or a morning ride. I can't remember what we did, but it was one of the days of the riding where half the day was now gone because we did a walking ride. I mean, the scenery is nice, but you literally just walked for an hour around the ranch and it wasn't quite what we wanted to do. So in my opinion, if they did the test, make it be the first thing you do and then take you out,
yeah,
that would be better.
Okay.
Test out. I think Sarah figured out like if you could sign up for like a private lesson, and if you have a private lesson first, mm-hmm, you can test out and then go to the fast ride. So like that might be, you know, a way to sort of circumvent the system where you then don't have a half a day or a day wasted walking if you're an advanced rider and you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you'll get tested out and learn, like get to know your horse also, because it's a little disconcerting even being a rider to get on a brand new horse and then just go galloping, like charging along, yeah, like uneven
terrain.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the lesson, if we were to go back, maybe that would be a way to like do it.
Yeah.
But okay, that's extra money.
So you'd say for people listening, to our audience listening, if they were to go there, that you would suggest maybe taking a riding lesson first, especially, yeah, if they're advanced riders. Because I know that the ranch does cater to all riding levels. And I just know from my own experience going on different vacations and different riding things that sometimes people aren't 1000% honest on those.
Yeah. Yes. For sure. Definitely have to take it to the lowest level. Yeah. They definitely have to take it to the lowest.
But I agree that, you know, that the riding evaluation should take first before you go out.
Yeah.
I think the private lesson, I don't remember you telling me that, Mandy, but the private lesson I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
But not everybody wants to spend the money to do that right off the bat at the beginning of the vacation, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hindsight, I think, Sarah, if I'm not, you would do it that way too. And I think I probably would too.
Yeah. 100%. I would. I think it would also be an opportunity, especially for someone who doesn't love to trail ride, would be an opportunity to be in the arena and get to know the horse that you're riding before you're kind of out in the Wild West, if you will.
Yeah.
Even though they're not going to go anywhere, literally. They're not going to go anywhere. And especially for people who ride English, to be in a Western saddle. I mean, I don't think I've sat in a Western saddle since probably high school.
Yeah.
Which was definitely a challenge for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big, you know, as dressage riders and then moving into a Western saddle and just that whole tack change is a huge adjustment. Mm-hmm. So what were the horses like temperament-wise, responsive, like the personalities? Can you describe a little bit like what their personalities were, even your own horse or just like the general feel of them?
Kim, you go first because you were obsessed with your pony.
I was obsessed with Dolly. Dolly was adorable. She's a halflinger breed. So she's a stocky little chestnut with a like light colored mane and tail. And she's a brood mare. And two of her sons are also being used at the ranch as trail ride horses. Oh, cool. She was so sweet and so adorable. And she just took really good care of me. I mean, when it's time to go, she's going with the rest of them. Mm-hmm. She would like put her head down and go. I think if I had to stop her, I could, but why would you want to? You're in a big long line of 8 or 10 horses galloping through the Wild West and it's so much fun. But, you know, it wasn't like she had more than 2 speeds. It was like she was walking or she was going.
Okay.
It wasn't like I could really slow down the go. I didn't have that much response. But when we were in the arena and we did the cattle pending and stuff, I definitely had control over her speed in that situation. So I loved her.
Awesome.
Mandy?
I actually didn't start, like my original horse that I had, I did not jive with. So I did request a switch after the first day and they gave me Lucy, who was a male Appaloosa named, you know, Lucy, and he had had prostate cancer twice, I think. And then he had had surgery and everything.
Oh my goodness. And
which just made me feel like really good about the owners that they're like willing to do that. And he was totally fit and happy and loved his job. And he also took amazing care of me. Like we did the obstacle course, we did the penning, like he was great and had personality. So
awesome. That's very fun. Happy. That's fun. And I love that. Knowing that they take such good care of
their
horses there like that, that makes it's a feel good.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they obviously also have the foaling program because they have Dolly had her 2 sons there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have like an area where the youngsters grow up?
I don't know.
I think that was the field out by our hacienda.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there a moment during your trip that like on horseback that really just stands out and like that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is why we came here? Whether that's a trail ride or like you said you did some cattle.
Penning. Yeah. The penning. Yeah. The penning was just, I would go back and do that every day if I could. It was like the most fun. I actually said it was the most fun I've had with my clothes on in a really long time. It was so much fun.
I love that.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And not every place gives you the opportunity to do something like that.
No, that's special. Yeah.
So I don't know that I would go any place that didn't offer that. That was my highlight for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. I would agree with that. We had so much fun and it's a team thing. And it's supposed to be 4 on a team, but because we were 5 girls, they made an exception and allowed the 5 of us to do it together. which really made it fun because we were yelling and screaming at each other and hooting and hollering and galloping down the arena to get the cows. And it was really, really fun to do it so that all of us were included in our own, in our same team. Yeah. And we really did well. We improved, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So did you guys do that every day?
Twice during our stay.
Okay.
Two afternoons. Yeah, it was two afternoons.
So then what was like the rhythm of your day? Like you'd wake up, you'd ride, you did, you know, did you ride twice a day, once a day?
Go ahead, Sarah.
We would decide kind of the night before, excuse me, what we wanted to do the next day. Mm-hmm. And then Kim and Mandy would wake up at 7 a.m. and sign us up for everything.
Okay.
And
did you sleep in?
Yes.
Okay.
Our rhythm was basically we would get up and do a morning ride after breakfast because God forbid I miss a meal there. It was amazing. And then you guys would kind of go and do another activity and I would work for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And then we would do an afternoon ride. And then really it was.
After the afternoon ride, it was like, I felt a little rush. Like it was shower and appetizers and then dinner and then it was done. Like, yeah.
The day was over. And so what other activities did you guys do? Was there, I know there's a pool there and but you know, they offer like hiking and things like that. What other activities did they offer?
So I know Kim and I did archery. We did the archery. We did shooting.
The shooting was fun.
Handgun and a rifle.
Uh-huh.
Kim could probably speak to exactly like what handgun and what rifle. I cannot speak to that. Mm-hmm. The pool, like we went to the pool one day. We used the spa.
Oh, yeah. We had massages.
Oh, yep. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Oh, and then I did what is it called? Groundwork lesson that mm-hmm. was kind of separate with my horse, Dolly, because I was so over the moon in love with her. And I thought it would be really fun as a connection thing. And the guy there, Mandy, he was the one that took us to the obstacle park. I can't remember his name, but he was wonderful. And we were in the round pen and we did the whole like join up thing, like the Monty Roberts join up thing. And it was just so cool. And it was really neat to just put my hands on her and watch her body and watch her respond mentally and physically to the things he was teaching me how to do. And that was really, really neat. So that was kind of an add on thing that I think I did one afternoon.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And we did crafts one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did crafts. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, so you guys did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We were there for all of it.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Went to the gym every day.
I did not.
I went to the gym every day.
So they have a gym there. They have a pool. They have a spa. They have all these other activities. So like no one's ever going to be bored there.
No.
They don't ride. No. Yeah.
I would say though, just the caveat for the spa, for people who like really want a true spa, this was not a true, like it was a two rooms on the side of the gym that you could get like a massage or something like that. But it wasn't like, you didn't have like the full spa experience.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. And so tell me about your rooms, like the comfort style, the vibe, the atmosphere, like were they comfortable?
Loved them. Cool. I loved our house.
We were in a house. So it's the only house on the property and it had three bedrooms.
Okay. Four.
A kitchen, like alumni.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was very comfortable, well enough supplied. I mean, we stopped and got groceries on our way in. So we would have like some basic stuff in there, but it was, and housekeeping came every day if we wanted them to. But we wanted to see one of the regular rooms and we just never got a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the hacienda was beautiful. It was kind of set away on its own, but we had a whole backyard to ourselves with a fire pit and a bunch of lounge chairs and stuff back there.
Oh, no.
So it was very private. It was kind of set away. So we had a little longer walk, but I mean, it's not a long walk. We're all fit. It was fine. But the thing that I would say about the hacienda is I believe that online it says that it's good for like 12 people. Mm-hmm. So for instance, Mandy and I shared a bedroom. We shared the master. It was a king size bed, but then there was like a little trundle bed next to it. Okay. So are they expecting three people in that room to fill the house? I don't know. So So Sarah was in a room with two single beds and then there were two other king rooms as well. One where each one of our girls stayed. So you could technically double up in all four of the rooms, but that's 8 people, not 12. And then there were these trundle beds, sort of kind of couch sort of trundle beds placed everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah.
And in my room, there was what I almost would think of like a walk-in closet. Mm-hmm. And there were bunk beds. One was a queen, one was a twin.
Oh, that's right.
There was no light in there. There was no fan. There was no anything. And you know, when we first got there, I thought, oh, I'll sleep in the queen bed. No way you could sleep in there without a fan on, at least at that time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so slept in the twin bed area.
Okay.
But they all had those amazing, I can't remember the brand, but those amazing like Southwestern wool blankets. And
okay.
It was really beautifully decorated.
Beautifully done.
Yeah.
So would you say it was more like your traditional ranch stay over like a like luxury resort?
I mean, our bathroom had like 3 shower heads and like our bathroom was beautifully. Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, did we have robes? We had robes and slippers, didn't we, Mandy?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. We had robes and slippers. So it was definitely, wasn't like a log cabin ranch stay. It was higher end than that. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's
not
the Ritz-Carlton.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So like you were there for how many days? 4?
5.
5. Okay. And so when you first got there from the time that you left, like how did you feel by the end of the trip? Were you like exhausted from being so busy or were you just rejuvenated? Did you feel relaxed?
I said immediately, I wished we were there longer.
Okay.
Because it took a couple of days, at least for someone like me, it takes me a couple of days to unwind.
Yep.
And I think it took us a couple of days to kind of find a rhythm and find the rides that we liked.
Gotcha.
And what we might want to do again. So it almost felt like we had just kind of gotten into a flow and then we had to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally. Go ahead.
Yeah. And we were very busy. And so I feel like we wanted to get everything in while we were there. And if we had a longer stay, then we could spend a whole afternoon by the pool and not feel like we're missing archery, we're missing shooting, we're missing arts and crafts, whatever, you know.
Because I know, like, for myself, when I've been on those things, I do want to, like, do everything. And then I get, you know, I'm leaving and I'm like, oh, I'm tired.
Yes.
And, like, and, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of more flow that you can just be like, hey, I'm not going to feel guilty for sitting by the pool or taking this afternoon to read a book on my vacation because I want to,
I think there was very little book reading.
Yeah. So you would suggest to somebody that was interested in going there maybe a week long stay?
They don't ride on Sundays. The horses are off on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And originally we were going to stay through and leave on Monday, but we were like, why waste that day if we can't ride anyway? So if I was someone booking it again, I would go Monday and then leave Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think we went on a Tuesday. I would go back. I loved it. I thought it was great. I do. We all talked about it. We would like to do something in like Montana or something like that as well. But I would go back to White Stallion. Yeah. The food was good too.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the food. Was it was it 3 square meals a day? That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then during happy hour, they had snacks, little appetizers.
Oh, nice. And was it more like family style? Like, did everybody who was at the ranch like all eat together or you can kind of come and go as you please?
It was like a time block for dinner from like 6 to 8. And so we went with our group. We would just, so what time do you guys want to have dinner? And then we'd go, but it wasn't an assigned dinner time. It was always buffet. Mm-hmm. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner were buffet, which I could take or leave, I guess, but the food was really good.
Great.
And that, like Sarah said, the appetizers in the bar, they weren't like pigs and blankets. They were shrimp cocktail and they were like lamb skewers. Like they were nice appetizers. It was almost as nice as the dinner. You know, I thought they were great, but they had fish options. They had gluten-free options. Mandy's got some gluten-free stuff. So
that was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my next question. Were they accommodating in terms of like food options for people? Because, you know, we live in a time that, you know, a lot of people have food sensitivities.
They labeled, they have like little chalkboards in front of everything. And if they didn't, and I asked somebody, they would either know the answer, whether it was gluten-free or then they would run and get the chalkboards. That was more for breakfast, I think.
Okay.
And then there was always a gluten-free like cookie or brownie or dessert set like aside. So like, as long as they know ahead of time, I think that was the thing. As long as they knew ahead of time, they could prepare.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And it was good. I couldn't complain about the food at all.
Great.
And for breakfast, they had really three options. There was a buffet, the full buffet. Then there was a continental, they called it. And then you could order. So they had like a special of the day every day. And you could order that if you wanted.
Oh, wow. So lots of options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Was there anything that wasn't what you expected?
I think I had no expectation going in. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of amazing. So everything was really great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes when you have no expectations, then
yeah,
can't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really love the trip. I'm not sure I would go for a week.
Okay.
Because I just feel like it got a little bit redundant, but I would go for a week if I could say like, hey, I'm going to sleep in and go to the pool. Right. Like, but if you're going to keep wanting to do, like, I think we did all the activities we wanted to do, except maybe like relax.
Okay.
So that's where I would add the other time, but I feel like we did everything, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so.
And they offered interesting stuff. Like there was on horseback, they had the obstacle course, which was really kind of neat. And then they also did, remember that morning we rode to breakfast?
That was awesome.
And yeah, I liked that. That was really fun. But that ride was a little like deep hilly and... Yeah.
Oh, that was the ride after. That was in the in the national park. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. You got to ride in different like a national
park.
Yeah, the Saguaro, I guess, Cactus National Park is the foothills of that big mountain that the whole ranch looks out at.
Oh, cool.
And one of the rides is like a long ride. It's like 2.5-3 hours and they take you up, you know, you're kind of climbing up and down and it's pretty rocky and, you know, a little dicey, but the horses were pretty good. Yeah.
So I have to ask, because they are part of the association. So how were the horses conditioned? Like, did you feel that, I know we talked a little bit about being surprised about their care, but did you find that their horses were well treated, everything from their tack? Did you find that their tack was suitable for each horse? Obviously they have a farrier on staff there, things like that. Did you find that you were comfortable with the horse care and the welfare of the horses?
I did think that the horses were well cared for. Mm-hmm. They clearly got enough to eat. They always had access to water. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was hard watching them be in saddles all day in that heat.
Yeah.
I gave my horse a bath one day. They will allow that. And she did have some sores and I felt badly about that. But, you know, and her saddle pads kind of kept falling back and they just were like, oh, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did say because it was that shoulder season, that the horses had like 4 weeks off in the heat of the summer.
Okay.
I think, or they were on a shortened schedule and they weren't using all the horses. And so for instance, Dolly, who was mine, she's older. She's a broodmare. She was a little heavy and she had like some, you know, a little bit of quick breathing. Mm-hmm. She would get winded before the other horses did. So I was a little bit concerned about that. But basically they said, you know, we just brought her back after, you know,
weeks. She's getting back into shape.
She's getting back into shape, you know. And so, and for like the saddle sore thing, that's what they said to me. She had a little sore on her girth area. And that's what they said, you know, she's just getting back into it. And they're ranch horses. I think these horses are, you know, used like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course, you know, there's different standards for different areas of the world, really. And then, you know, and what they're used for, you know, they're not show horses and they're not backyard horses. They are there to do a job and they're ranch horses. That being said, you did feel that they, when you brought things to their attention, that they recognized them and they were aware of that and
definitely
perfect.
And there were very little sad horses there. They all seemed pretty happy. A lot of perky ears. Everyone loves treats. They know, you know, they're getting treats all the time. And they were in your pocket. They were really sweet. They were happy.
Yeah. And no one was thin. Nobody looked bad. Nobody looked like they'd, you know, never been groomed. And they had Outlast treats. Like they have really, so they do take really good care of the horses. And that was kind of one of the first things I had noticed was like, oh, they have tummy treats. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So if you were to describe each of you one word to describe your trip, what would it be?
Fun. Yeah.
Amazing. I thought it was amazing.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't have one word. I loved it.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, I'm looking to go back there. So hopefully this year. So thanks.
You need to look up Denise. She's the owners were not there when we were there because it was shoulder season and they took vacation.
What does that mean?
Shoulder season?
Yeah.
Like in between, like the, it's like still hot. Like when people don't really come. So they weren't at max capacity, which also is really nice.
Okay.
So it's kind of like when you go to the beach and you're like not in prime season.
Yeah.
We're not in off season. Ranch season. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. It was like summer's their off season, winter's their high season. And we went in the fall. So it was just ramping up to their high season.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so since the owners weren't there, I don't know what Denise's title is, but she basically took over like the assigning of the horses and like she like told us everything. She was just really amazing. So you want to go find her if you go back.
Yeah. 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 Oh, the other thing that they had that I thought was a really pleasant surprise is they had a professional photographer on staff.
Oh, yeah.
So as you were galloping through the cacti and tumbleweeds, there was somebody like hidden in a corner taking pictures of you and your group as you fly by, and the pictures with the backdrop and the red mountain and they just turned out stunning. They really are amazing.
What a great thing to do for your guests though. Cause you know, then no offense to anybody, but like, if I'm taking a picture of you guys on horseback, it comes out all fuzzy or, you know what I mean? But what a great treat.
Cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing. And then every night at happy hour, we would go to happy hour and the photographer would be there with her laptop, just showing all the pictures and you could put them in a folder and then purchase them. And she would email them directly to you. So it was really easy and seamless. And now we have all these great photos.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Is there anything that you would add or what advice would you give somebody that is going there?
I couldn't imagine going in high season. I just feel like it would be a lot of people.
Okay.
I feel like there were a good amount of people there, but it was very comfortable because we weren't getting shut out of anything that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And people knew our names too. Like it was small enough that the Wranglers recognized us. Denise would come and find us and ask how we're doing. Like you recognize people because it wasn't packed, I think.
Well, so maybe look at shoulder season.
Yeah. It was a nice time to go. The other thing is with the scheduling, you do have like the schedule for that day gets released at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And that's when you sign up for the things that you want. So that's why Kim and I would set on our alarm every morning at 7 and we would log on to the, you know, their website or whatever and like sign everybody up for what they wanted to do that day.
Gotcha.
So you can't like, I think when we were going, we were like, how are we going to sign up? How does it work? Like, how do you get the things that you, do I need to schedule it ahead of time? You can't. You're literally like, it opens at 7 a.m. and you get like first. Get. Come, we first were never time. Closed out.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And that's,
I was going to say, I think it was freakishly hot for that time of year too. Yeah. So I wouldn't not go just because we had that one really hot experience, but I think it's a good time to go fall. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming on the show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
As we wrap up this episode of Galloping Getaways, I want to leave you with this. Equestrian travel works best when it's built on care, professionalism, and trust. The Equestrian Travel Association exists to uphold standards to support equestrian experiences that meet a high bar for horse welfare, ethical business practices, and thoughtful delivery. If you'd like to learn more about the ETA or explore the kinds of experiences that reflect these values, you can visit rideeta.com. Thanks for riding along with me today, and I'll see you next time on Galloping Getaways. We hope you've enjoyed trotting along with us and discovering new destinations on horseback. Until next time, travel thoughtfully, ride with care, and I'll see you on Galloping Getaways.